Well, you're listening to Stages, and we have in the studio Adam Lazarus to have a chat about his production that he's brought all the way from Canada to us, called Daughter. And it's one of the ones that when Wesley Enoch mentioned earlier on in the show, of one of the ones that to get along and see, but it's also challenging. Welcome to Stages, Adam.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming in. It's playing at the Carriage Works, by the way, which is a nice big space to get into. This is a personal story. Look at your... No, tell us about the daughter. Is it about your daughter?
No. I'm curious the rest of that sentence. Can you? What was the rest of that sentence?
What did it begin with? It's a personal story.
It's a personal look at your...
life, which as is, being a man. It's a man's... I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's said. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. It's... there's aspects of the show that are pure fiction, and there are some that are autobiographical, and I will never tell you where that line is drawn for the sake of the art.
Yeah.
I could easily say right now it's a character, and, and it is. It's a fantasy where a bunch of acts are compounded on one person. It's so, you know, obscure saying that if you haven't seen the show, but maybe it's good to like re-listen to this after you've seen it.
Yeah.
But what I will say is nothing in the show is out of the realm of possibility for people to have committed. Meaning, the show is about you're repeatedly asked a question throughout the show: Are you okay that I did that? Is that okay? Isn't that familiar? And the experience in the room, being an audience member, is: where do you drop off and start saying, no, I don't agree with that? And for some people, they drop off after the show is over, or they never drop off. And some people will drop off in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. So what are you asking people, though? Tell us about the core of the question.
What bad behavior do you excuse or are you complicit in? So from
being complicit, though, by even doing nothing.
Exactly. Mm. So early on, I tell a story of when I was 5 years old. Or sorry, the character tells a story where.
And so maybe that's part of the truth.
It's a funny thing, though. I will say I'm acting a certain character, which is very familiar. And that's why the play works so well, is you feel like you know this guy. He's you. He's your friend. He's your uncle. He's your father. He's your partner. He doesn't even need to be a man. He's just aspects of you that have committed these actions or acts. So early on, for example, I say when I was five, and this is a true story, I might as well say it. I would chase people around with the flower baby's breath. Right?
Oh, yes.
And be like, here, smell the baby's breath. And people would say like, ew, no, ew. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. And so I remember when I was a kid, I did the same thing. I was like, I'm going to pee on you. And people would be like, eek, no, what am I going to do? And then I remember doing that and nobody did anything. So in a school up to grade six, which is about 11 years old, people would watch that, find it funny. No one did anything. So that's
did
like,
you actually pee on them?
No.
Oh.
No, it was just like a silly joke. Yeah. I've been a clown since I was born,
Okay.
Or one of the co-creators, Javesh Parasaram, we had this discussion where he was in a bar at one time, and I'm sure this is a very familiar story to many people, and he was sitting next to this man who he didn't know, and this man was trying to pick up this woman, and she rejected him. Can I say bad words on this show?
Sure. No. Okay. Yes. We've done the warning.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. This is like late afternoon. And so he's rejected this stranger. He turns to Jiv and says, oh, what a bitch.
Yeah.
And Jiv goes, he's uncomfortable, but doesn't say like, hey man, like you're a loser, or don't do that, or what are you talking about, or like, don't talk like that. So these like micro complicity moments that we have, that when we initially wrote the show, I don't think we had a language for it. It was pre-Trump, pre-Brexit, pre-Kavanaugh, pre-Me Too, pre-Time's Up. And then now we do have a way of talking about it, which is fantastic.
And these vignettes, are they strung together? I mean, is there a theme? It's called Daughter. Yeah. So is there sort of a theme of father, mother, or a theme of how these vignettes come together into a show or into a performance? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, there is.
But we're not going to tell
you. Yeah, it's not so secretive. You know, I come out on the stage and I tell a pretty beautiful story about the birth of a daughter. And then I talk about the complexities of being a father and how to behave correctly around that, how to behave correctly. And then I go back into the past and start asking questions about, like, have any of you done bad things? Mm. Not necessarily wanting the answer to that. I think another way to answer the question is when I started writing it and co-creating it with Anne-Marie Kerr, Javesh Parasaram, and Melissa D'Agostino, I had this question. I had a daughter, and my daughter was born, I should say, and I asked myself, how do I raise a daughter in this world that's not built to protect women?
Mm.
And that's
such a good question.
Yeah. And then it switched, though. It was like, how do we raise our boys not to be violent against women?
Yes.
Because that I'm not sure what it's like in Australia, but I'm sure it's the same. You know, women are taught to defend themselves against abuse while boys play basketball, like in the same class.
Yep.
Mm. So there's always this, like, what do we do for our girls? How do we protect our girls? And we're not concentrating on the perpetrator of the crime.
So it's particularly from a male point of view because you are the central character. When you are asking the audience, will you accept this? Are you asking them if they don't accept it to leave, or are you expecting them? And I understand you probably have had women walk out.
Oh, we've had everybody walk out.
Everybody, not just women.
Have you played to an audience where everyone's walked out?
No, not yet. And we think we have this vision or hope that one day the show will be, of the past. What's the word? Antiquated or
extinct.
Extinct. Yeah. And so it's like,
we won't
I'm
need
behind,
to ask these questions
yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. It's like I'm behind a glass partition and like the ticker tape goes on with the words. And you're like, oh, remember when men were like that? But we're far from being like that. So. Mm. I think the thing about to answer your question, we have this vision of, yes, everyone stands up and walks out because we're like,
accept this.
It. But I think it's more complex than that because we do. It's very, I think it's naive to think that we're past it. We're actually only beginning to rip it open right now. And the microaggressions that we're committing daily, even now as the language comes up. And then there's, I think, another naivety to believe that that it's not happening. And often in an artistic community, we think like, oh, we're past it. We get it. But it's like, travel anywhere.
But look at even just at sociology and the way that we just expect someone else will handle it. If it's the wrongdoing, we don't take responsibility ourselves for what we see. We think someone else, that's bad. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Someone else will take care of it. In that way. So you've mentioned, you know, the bitch or calling or the, you know, some things, but I imagine it gets quite really, really, really dark and maybe sexual and other things. Are there things that you thought, no, I'm not going to put in this?
Yeah. So I think in dealing with the creation of the work, a reaction that would be in the room of, when we'd have that, we'd say, okay, we're on to something. Let's go into it.
Yes.
Versus like, oh, we need to protect the room to be sure or like qualify it happening. And we did, you know, we had iterations of the show where it was lighter and we'd keep coming back and saying, but that's not the truth.
Yes.
So
you didn't hold back if it was that. Don't do that.
Really ripping the Band-Aid off.
How does it feel? Yeah. You have children yourself, and how does it feel performing this and also, you know, the act of people walking out on you, like, is terrifying as a performer. I imagine that you're kind of expecting that or, you know, anticipating that.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay. Mm. I'm okay with people walking out. I guess I can say this. The hardest part for me is I feel like I would give something away if I say what the hardest part is, but it's being able to see the reaction of the audience. So that's, I'll
hurting
say that
them,
simply.
Basically.
Yeah, and it's conscious because I know I'm doing it and I want to be doing it. There's a great line that says an artist's job is to bring the issues to the parliament steps, but it's not our job to go become a politician. And I feel like that's what we're doing with this show. And I keep saying we because I think it's also important to remember it's, you know, directed by a woman, it's co-created by two women and a person of color and myself. We're not, it's not a man in isolation trying to tell his story about men's rights activism. It's not that. And some people confuse it sometimes because it's, the character's very accessible.
But it is a one-man show. It is a monologue show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and I know my casing very well, as a friend said. Like, I'm playing this body of a straight white man taking up a lot of space in a room and saying, like, I get it. I'm woke. And, like, to hear that from this body, we're very conscious and manipulating it. It's a bouffant show, right? So there's a trickery in it where we lull you in with the love of this character as you would love your friends and colleagues and associates, and then to be turned on. You feel very betrayed. And I think it's fun when you see that trick happening. If you know it going in, it's also really fun.
Yeah.
Because good, you're giving voice to this problem.
And the term toxic masculinity, I mean, that's been in a couple of articles by a great Australian writer, Tim Winton, has been writing about that over the last couple of years. But that is kind of something that you're touching on in this monologue. Is that correct?
Or, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And again, I think that wasn't a term that had been as clearly defined at the time that we were making it. But it helped us as that vernacular started to come into the, you know, the world. And that's what's happening. It's he's just getting more toxic. But I think there's also this issue of decoding. Because you're not quite clear why it's toxic, or not you, but many men and many women who accept or encourage this toxicity. There's a decoding of, like, where did I go wrong, and what do I do now that I'm being asked to let go of my power? How should I behave? I don't know. And the only things I know how to do are, like, grab onto that toxicity, which to me is not toxic. It's just how I am. Like, boys will be boys. Again, I'm speaking from the perspective of not
and
me,
power is
Adam
power.
Lazarus.
Yeah.
Power is power. Why would I give that up if you're telling me that that's the only way for equality to happen is for me to, like, step down? Not going to do it. Right? Which is sad and... Silly.
Yeah. So you're showing everyone the awareness of sort of it's a social education almost, where you're actually showing everybody to say no, the art of saying no and the little things.
I feel like I want to change one aspect of that to say it's in a way a social experiment where you are actively manipulated in the room you're so steeped in the boiling pot by the time you're on fire you don't even realize it. You're like, how did we get here? And I feel like I should say two things about that. The first one is, I think there, if you as an audience member are in trauma or are haven't dealt with a trauma, maybe you don't want to come see the show, and that's okay. The show's not for everyone, for sure. 80% of the people love it, 10% are a bit confused, and 10% vehemently hate it. And that's okay. They will not find the catharsis in watching this kind of piece, and it's not for them.
And do you find a divide, like, who is more offended? Is there a gender divide in the offense?
For sure.
Why is it called Daughter?
I think because of what I initially said, that it was, how do we build
help the girls and not the boys.
And also, Jiv asked me a very interesting question early on in rehearsals. I kept saying my daughter, and he said, do you think you own your daughter, Adam? And
what did you
said?
Answer?
Yes. And he said how very patriarchal. And that opened up the beginning of a very intensive creation process of like 500 hours of improv to make what you're going to see.
See. Great. Well, 70 minutes of show playing at the Carriage Works. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Adam Lazarus with Daughter playing only from the 10th to the 13th of January at the Carriage Works. Get along and see it. Wow, what a show. And also I need to mention that after each performance of Daughter, there is a talk back Q&A with the audience and the producers, so you can go through everything and pull apart and ask him to come back on so you can beat him up or whatever you want to do.
Bit of a debrief.
I think so.